Well, Father, I truly do thank you for all who came out to the house of God this morning. I thank you, Father God, for meeting each and every need. I thank you that you're moving throughout this seat, even as I speak, and you're ministering, Father, to your people. Now, Father, whatever the need, fulfill it. Whatever the promise you've given them, Father God, you said this is a year you're going to fulfill those promises. And Father God, I thank you, and I know that you're raising up a mighty army of warriors that can go forth full of your power and your strength to win the gospel, to give the gospel to those who are lost and dying, and win the many souls to you. And Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's been a while since I've stood behind a pulpit here. I just about forgot to get up. Amen. How many of you joined a nice wedding? Nice weather today. Yeah, wedding. I heard coming to church this morning, we're supposed to get snow Tuesday. So enjoy while you can. And they said they don't know if snow is going to get here or not, but we're supposed to get snow. yesterday, Adam and Elaine, while you were blowing the shofar, you know, I always close my eyes and raise my hand when I do that, but open my eyes and, you know, and looked at Larry's picture standing here, and his face totally disappeared from that picture frame, and it was a big rainbow took its place. And as long as I looked at that, the rainbow stayed there, and I closed my eyes and said, God, what are you trying to tell me with the rainbow? And he says, blessing after blessing. And then opened my eyes, Larry's picture was there again. So, you know, blowing the shofar, God blew his blessings over the church and over you people. This morning I'm going to talk about, do you know my Jesus? And the last time I was here, I talked about, where is my Jesus? And this morning I'm going to talk about, do you know my Jesus? So I ask you again, do you know him? Do you really know Jesus? Do you know his name? We consider our name to be among our most prized possessions. And Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver and gold. So your name is important. It has a meaning to it. So, you know, a lot of women say, oh, well, I just want it. You when they're pregnant, oh, I'm going to name my baby after this guy or after that guy or after this person, that person. You need to ask God, God, what do you want me to call my child? You know. And then let God name that child, and then there's a blessing on that name. All right, I said, a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver and gold. And Jesus is the most precious name of all. He has a name given him that is above all names. There are at least 171 names and titles given to him in the Bible. He is first mentioned in Genesis 3 as a seed of the woman, and last mentioned in Revelation 22 as the Lord Jesus. The prophet Isaiah called him the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and said that he would be called Emmanuel, which equals God with us. Now, I'm teaching this as I taught the other because God said, my people don't know who Jesus is. They just go about their business. They come to church. They go home. They don't really know who Jesus is. So through the other teaching and through this teaching, I'm hoping that you finally understand who Jesus really is. In his gospel, Luke uses at least 32 different names and titles of our Lord. Among those he uses are Jesus, and that's in Luke 1:31, used by Luke 100 times, Son of the Most High, Son of God, My Lord, Luke used that 102 times. My Savior, Horn of Salvation, Most High, the Lord, Rising Sun, Savior Christ the Lord, Consolation of Israel, the Lord Christ, used by Luke 14 times. Son of David, Physician, Jesus of Nazareth, Holy One of God, Master, Lord, God, Son of Man, Bridegroom, Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus, Son of the Most High God, the Christ of God, Teacher, Good Teacher, the King, the Stone, the Capstone, King of the Jews, the Chosen One. You find this all in Luke. All right? Now Philippians 2:10-11, at his name every knee will ultimately bow, whether in heaven, on earth, or under the earth, and all will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. If people don't want to confess him now, there will come a day when they will bow their knees to the Lord Jesus Christ. The religious leaders of his day called him Rabbi. The political leaders called him King. His disciples called him Master. And the angel called him Jesus. But I call him Lord. Amen. He's Lord of our lives. Let's get that in our spirit this morning. He's Lord of our lives. And until we know who Jesus really is, we're never going to be able to tell others who Jesus is. We can tell them from our mind, intellect, but if we don't know him from our heart, you'll never be able to convince people who Jesus truly is. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He's the Almighty One. He's the Everlasting One. The mention of his name brings peace to the troubled, comfort to the sorrowful, rest to the weary, health to the sick, hope to the hopeless, joy to the sad, and forgiveness to the sinner. Let's read that again. The mention of his name brings peace to the troubled, comfort to the sorrowful, rest to the weary, health to the sick, hope to the hopeless, joy to the sad, and forgiveness to the sinner. His is the only name given under heaven whereby we may be saved. And all who call on his name are saved. His name has inspired the sweetest songs, motivated the noblest service, promoted the loftiest ideas in human history. The poets have expressed the beauty of his name. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And he's just the same as his lovely name. And that's the reason why I love him so. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. There have been names that I have loved to hear, but never has there been a name so dear to this heart of mine as that name divine, the precious, precious name of Jesus. Are you listening? The precious name of Jesus. Do you really know that name? Do you really understand what that name is really telling us? We go around saying Jesus just so nonchalantly. But you need to start reverence the name of Jesus and what it really stands for. Total salvation. Total redemption. Total freedom from all of our sins. Jesus. How many of you, when you're troubled, you just say Jesus, Jesus. That's all you can say. Just say Jesus. And that brings you some peace and some comfort as you just say Jesus. Sometimes I can't even pray and I just sit and just say Jesus. Don't you do that? Jesus. Because you know he hears you call his name and you don't have to say any word because he already knows what you're thinking, what you're feeling. And he just brings you comfort. A lot of people think they have to do a long dissertation when they sit before the Father. But all you have to do is sometimes not even say Jesus. Just sit in his presence. Because he knows all things. Amen. Do you know his character? Only of Jesus can it be said that he is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. Only of Jesus can it be said he is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. Only of Jesus can it be said that he went around doing good. Don't you wish we could say that about ourselves? That we were always going around doing good? But only Jesus, you can only say that about Jesus. Someone described the character of Jesus as follows. To the artist, he is the one altogether lovely. To the architect, he is a chief cornerstone. To the astronomer, he is a son of righteousness. To the baker, he is a living bread. To the banker, he is a hidden treasure. To the biologist, he is the life. To the builder, he is the true cornerstone. To the carpenter, he is a sure foundation. To the doctor, he is a great physician. To the editor, he is the good tidings of great joy. To the educator, he is a great teacher. To the farmer, he is a sower and lord of the harvest. To the florist, he is the rose of Sharon and lily of the valley. To the geologist, he is the rock of ages. To the horticulturist, he is the true vine. To the judge, he is a righteous judge. To the juror, he is a true witness. To the juror, he is a pearl of great price. To the occults, he is the light of the eyes. To the philosopher, he is the wisdom of God. To the printer, he is a true type. To the servant, he is a good master. To the student, he is the incarnate truth. To the toiler, he is a giver of rest. You see all that? He's everything we need. To the sinner, he is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. To the Christian, he is the Son of the living God, the Savior, the Redeemer, and the Lord. You know, if you truly know who Jesus is and you're truly going to be able to go through the difficulties of life leaning upon Jesus, and you'll be a witness to those around about you that because of Jesus, you can weather every storm. I love that song, In the Eye of the Storm, because one time I was going through a great tribulation in my life and God said, run to the eye of the storm. And I asked Brother Larry, what goes on in the eye of the storm? He said, there's perfect peace. And so God told me, run to the eye of the storm at that given time. And I've always remembered that's where every time I go through something, I run to the eye of the storm, which is Jesus, who brings me perfect peace. This is one thing that Brother Larry said one day to me. He says, you know, I never could figure out how you go through what you go through, but you keep telling me it's all because of Jesus. And he said, I finally understand how you can go through what you go through, because Jesus always comforts you. And so you see, we have to be a witness to everybody we come in contact with. When they see you going through troubled times, they have to know who you believe in and who you trust in. And so you can't waver. You have to always be steadfast and steady and sure. And that way, as they watch you walk out your walk, they too will start believing in your Jesus. Remember, the first title was, Where is My Jesus? Well, if you will let people see Jesus in you, they're going to want your Jesus. They're going to want what you have. And I would like for each one of you in here this morning to understand that people are watching you. They watch everything that you do, everything that you say. And if you're confessing to be a son of the Most High God, then they're going to watch and see if you have Jesus in you. You're either going to make them or you're going to break them. If you're steadfast and you show them Jesus, then you're going to make them a follower. But if they watch you and watch you stumble and reel around and don't know what you're doing, they're not going to want your Jesus. They already have that junk in the world. And this is what the problem with the body of Christ is. We don't know who Jesus is, so therefore we can't show who Jesus is. We don't walk Jesus out. Did I say you were ever going to get upset? I didn't say that. Because we're not perfected. There's only one perfect, and that was Jesus. But even when we get upset, we can still give God the glory. We still know how to say, that wasn't right. I shouldn't have done that. That shows Jesus in you. Are you listening? And you need to read the scripture and understand that Jesus got angry. He called people names. Come on. I'm not telling you to call people names. I didn't say that. But I was reading something, you know, studying all this. I read about where Jesus called a few names in the Bible. And so I said, well, then I feel a little bit better. One time God said to me, he said, read the word all about Jesus. Study everything he did. And then you're going to know why you're going through what you're going through. And then you'll understand my son better. And you understand your walk better. So if you haven't done it, go through the New Testament, read everything that Jesus did. And if Jesus went through it, you're going to go through. If you're a true child of God, you're going to go through difficulties in life. I'm sorry, it's not a rose garden that we walked into. We walked into a battle of the ages. And there's a battle going on constantly in the heavenly realm. Satan's trying to destroy God's children, and God's trying to keep us safe. Remember I told you, God told me one time, I'm in a tug of war. He has one hand, Satan has the other. Both of them vying for my soul. Who's going to win? It's up to me. And I've always made sure that Jesus wins and the devil loses. One of my biggest things I never want to happen is to have Satan, gotcha. And give God a black eye. I never want that to happen. I want to always honor Jesus. Who he is, what he does, and what he stands for. People are not going to understand you. And you know, if you get your feathers get ruffled, and somebody keeps harassing you, and your feathers get ruffled, they'll say, huh, and you call yourself a child of God. I have somebody in my home who says, I'm not going to church because there's too many hypocrites there. Hey, we're working going to heaven. Come on. We're working at being perfected, right? And one day we're going to sit in heavenly places, and we're going to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, just like Brother Larry made it and went. Amen. Where am I at? Okay, a beautiful description of Jesus' character is given by Sherwood Eddy in his Portrait of Jesus. More than 1,900 years ago, there was a man born contrary to the laws of life. This man lived in poverty and was reared in obscurity. Only once did he cross the boundary of the country in which he lived. That was during his exile and childhood. Now he's talking about Jesus here, all right? In infancy, he startled a king. In childhood, he puzzled the doctors. In manhood, he ruled the course of nature, walked upon the billows as if on pavement, and hushed the sea to sleep. He never wrote a book, yet all the librarians in the country could not hold the books that have been written about him. Oh, you guys want to write books? Jesus never wrote a book. Don't quit writing your books, please, if God told you to. He never wrote a book, yet all the libraries in the country could not hold the books that have been written about him. He never wrote a song, and yet he has furnished the theme for more songs than all the songwriters combined. He never founded a college, but all the schools put together cannot boast of having as many students. The names of the past proved statesmen of Greece and Rome have come and gone. The names of the past scientists, philosophers, and theologians have come and gone. But the name of this man abounds more and more. That's our Jesus that we follow. Though time has spread 2,000 years between the people of this generation and the scene of his crucifixion, yet he still lives. Herod could not destroy him, and the grave could not hold him. Come on. Come on, guys. This is our Jesus. The grave's not going to be able to hold us either, is it? One day we're just going to be seated in heavenly places with Jesus. He's up there ever interceding for everyone that's in here this morning. And I know more than once, and you know too, he said to the Father, don't chastise them. They're just weak little human beings. Give them more grace, as Aaron said, more grace and more grace. How many of us need more grace? We all need more grace. Amen. He stands forth upon the highest pinnacle of heavenly glory, proclaimed of God, acknowledged by angels, adored by saints, and feared by devils as the living personal Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and God. Let's read that again, Nancy. Jesus stands forth upon the highest pinnacle of heavenly glory, proclaimed of God, acknowledged by angels, adored by saints, and feared by devils as the living personal Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and God. That's who he is. The devil's nothing. Nothing but a puff of wind. He holds no claim to our souls unless we allow him to. Jesus is the author and finisher of my life. Is he the author and finisher of your life? If he's the author and finisher of your life, then live it. Live like he is. Show those around about you that he is your Lord and your Savior. Amen. Come on, get this determination in your heart. Y'all say you miss Brother Larry. Well, Brother Larry, I know, will be up there yelling, do it, do it, do it. Amen. Come on. Do you know his message? Although he had little formal education or training, he spoke powerfully from his heart to the hearts of men. He spoke in the common language of the people to enormous crowds, sometimes the small crowds, more often to his band of disciples, and on occasion to certain individuals. But his message was always characterized by simplicity of expression and depth of thought. He didn't do like these great ministers do, use all the these, thous, and all the great big words. He was very simple, and he was very plain, and everybody knew exactly what he was saying. Are you listening? If you want to be like Jesus, then quit standing up here when you do and acting like you know it all. Speaking like you know it all. You're listening. God wants us to walk in simplicity of heart. You know, you go out there and you speak to somebody that doesn't know Jesus and you start speaking all this stuff. They don't understand you. They don't. They need the simplicity of the truth. And then once they know that and they receive Jesus, then God will just start teaching them more and more and more. All right? How many of you, whenever you talk to somebody, all they ever do is spout the Bible to you? When I was first saved, I said, God, these people can't even talk to you because all they do is spout the Bible. He said, watch their fruit. They weren't living Christ at all. They had a religious spirit. You know, if you're going to talk to me, don't stand and quote the Bible to me. Talk to me. You know, talk to me. If God wants the Bible being quoted, he'll bring that up out of you and he'll say it. But this is why you can't save souls. It's because you're too busy being religious and quoting the Bible to these people. And they don't need to hear that. They just need to feel the love of Christ coming out of you. They just need to hear grace and compassion coming out of you. They just need to know that God is real through you. Through you. Come on. Through you. And God's telling me to tell you, not everybody's going to understand you. But they didn't understand Jesus either. So quit worrying about whether or not they understand you. You just be Jesus. You know, Jesus lives within you, right? Doesn't you all confess that? Then let him work through you. And let him be who he wants to be through you. Because each one of us will meet different people. And we will, you know, I might meet Grace and only I can minister to Grace. You know, I mean, you might meet Grace, but you can't minister to Grace. God will use our personalities to minister to different people. Don't even worry if you can't minister to someone. I quit worrying about that. God said, you're trying to save everybody and you can't do that. All you can do is live the life and, you know, give the word. What they do with it is a tearing up them. It's not up to you to save them. So I'm telling each one of you, it's not up to you to save anybody. You don't, you know, if I'm around people and I know they don't want to hear God, I don't say anything about God. I really don't. I just live the life of Christ. I keep my faith. I keep doing what God's telling me to do. And as people watch me, sometimes they get saved and sometimes they think I'm nuts. You know? But Brother Larry used to think I was crazy. He did. And then he started finding out who Jesus really was, and he understood why I did what I did, and finally he received Christ because of watching me go through the things I went through with love and grace. Are you listening? So how many people are watching you? A whole lot. A whole lot. I'm going to get together everything that happened with Brother Larry, and because he shouldn't be dead today, but I'm going to get, I just didn't do it today. I just can't quite do that yet, but, and you're going to understand what really did happen and why he's not sitting in that seat today. All right? So don't get confused about what happened. I'll tell you the truth. God spoke to me every day. I have every prophetic word he spoke. He spoke to Sister Nancy and Brother Brett. We have it all down, and we'll explain it to you. All right. So the next thing is, to those who heard Jesus, it was obvious that he was a teacher come from God. They were amazed because he spoke as one who had authority, not like their scribes. If you're called of God, when you speak, there will be authority in your voice. Come on. When I was first saved, you know, I said, I want, you know, somebody was going to pay my way to Bible college. And God said, I don't want you to go there and get man's doctrine. My Holy Spirit will teach you. And sometimes when the Holy Spirit teaches you, you fumble a little bit, don't you? You don't know quite what you're doing. You just sort of walk by faith and just keep doing what God, what the Holy Spirit's telling you to do. All right. And they exclaim, no one ever spoke like this man does. No one ever, see, this is what people should be saying about you and I. No one speaks in the church speaks like you do. You know, don't try to be what somebody else. You be who God's calling you forth to be, and you speak what God wants you to speak. You're listening. Don't try to be me. You'll never be me. And thank God there's only one of me. You know, you be you. God uses your personality. And see, God's getting ready to really move in a mighty way here real quick, like. And this is one thing that upset Brother Larry when he got sick, because he wanted to be here when that happened. But anyhow, and he's been preparing us for a couple of years for this next move. And you're going to have to know who Jesus is. And you're going to have to know who you are in Christ. You're going to have to know that you are truly a child of God, or you're not going to make it. I've told you that before, and I'm telling you it again today, because what God showed me this morning in the wee hours is you are still not ready to receive what he has for you. He wants you to be so full of him that whenever he drops this on you, your new mantle, and I'm going to teach you about the mantle tonight, but when he drops your new mantle on you, the devil won't be able to stop you. You're going to go zoomp, and you're going to get out there and do the works that God's called you for to do. God is dropping new mantles. But are you really ready to carry somebody else's mantle? Remember, God had me deposit some of my anointing into y'all one day. Well, God's going to be doing more and more of that. So you just be prepared for what God wants to do within your vessel. You get yourself holy and pure. You stand before God, not man. You don't stand before man. You stand before God and let God fill you with himself. And let God send you forth into the place that he wants you to go. Man will always try to stop you. Now, I'm not telling you to come against your leader. I'm just saying you need to hear God for yourself. And then you need to go and do what God's telling you to do. Because man, I'm sorry, but there's some churches that will hold your people to your seats, to their seats, because they want that head. Or they want the money, one or the other. And they won't ever tell you that you have an anointing to go forth and do a works for the Father. They'll keep you bound to a chair. I don't keep you. In fact, I invite you to leave. Amen. I do not keep you bound to a chair, because God did not raise you up to tie you to a chair. He raised you up to do a work. Amen. Now, we all know Pastor Larry was my assignment. And it came straight out of the pits of hell. But it was to save his soul. His soul got saved. He was saved. He loved the Lord. He knew his Bible, you know. But that was my assignment. Now that assignment's done, and I don't know what to do with myself. I need a new assignment. So each one of you in here, you have an assignment. Brad, your assignment is my bullheaded granddaughter. All right? And he told me yesterday, I'm not strong enough. Yes, you are. God wouldn't have did that, say. You know, we each of us have assignments. Do you know what your assignment is? You need to, if you don't seek God's face, what is my assignment? All right? I lost my place again here, didn't I? All right. Jesus' style of teaching was unique. I call mine unique every now and then, too. Different than that of the professional teachers of his day or ours. So I'm going to say this. When you go to teach, You won't be teaching like the teachers of old. We are in a brand new 40-year dispensation. You will be teaching the way God needs you to teach in this dispensation. You're going to be teaching to a worldly group of people. They are not saved. They are full of sin, full of the devil, tattooed all over the place, pierced everywhere. That is the devil. That's who you're going to have to minister to. You won't be able to minister to them the way your pastor ministered to you. We have a whole group of people out there. Now, are you ready to change? Are you ready to... I'm hearing God say your atmosphere around about you is going to change. Then he's going to start sending these people to you. Are you going to be able to minister to them? Well, let me take you to my pastor. No. God sent them to you to minister to. I tell my people, no, you do it. You're the one that God sent it. You minister to them. You know how to minister. Don't bring them to me. I'm already have enough on my plate. You know? And God's been saying that this dispensation that we've already gone into, it's just not going to be a one-man show. We're all going to be teaching. We're all going to be out there ministering the gospel. There's too many people out there lost and undone. One person can't reach them all. No, they can't. Or let's just say Billy Graham. He all those people got saved in his meetings, but somebody had to minister to those people. Billy Graham didn't. And so, you know, you might have been at the meeting, Billy Graham, and your friend got saved. Now it's your job to minister to them and teach them about Jesus. Are you understanding what I'm saying here? This is where we're going, guys. So, you know, don't get stagnant. Don't get caught in a ditch somewhere. So I said, Jesus' style of teaching was unique, different than that of the professional teachers of his day or ours. He taught without classroom or credentials. Are you listening? Well, you don't have Reverend in front of your name. I don't care. When I was ordained, they said, well, how much college did you have? And I said, well, I do have college, but not. I didn't go to no Bible school. Well, you can't be a minister if you didn't go to Bible school. I said, God told me the Holy Spirit would teach me. And y'all know how God turned that thing around, and I was just radically ordained. You know, so Jesus didn't have any credentials. He taught anyone, anywhere, anytime. Are you willing to do that? Anyone, anywhere, anytime. He taught without pretense. I don't pretend about nothing. All right, don't pretend. Be you. Be real. We're looking for real people out here. All right, he taught without pretense, without hypocrisy, and without fear. I don't care who comes in here. I'm not going to change the way I'm going to talk, because I know that what I have to say comes from the Holy Spirit. And so I don't fear nothing. When I went out and used to evangelize, it was always ministers I ministered to anyhow. And they just sat there with their eyes popped open because they heard things they never heard before. And I used to say, God, you know, these are all ministers. They've been in ministry longer than I have. He says, you go, and I'll speak through you. They were taught things. So, see, a minister doesn't know everything. Always remember that. You have something inside of you that they don't know that God wants you to give to them. All right? Don't trample on authority. Now, I didn't say that. I said, don't go out there in fear and trembling. Oh, that's a minister. I daresn't say that. Well, why not? If the Holy Spirit is prompting you to say it, then he wants you to say it. He taught with simple words, picturesque speech, vivid illustrations, and divine authority. He taught the learned doctor of the law, the sinful woman at the well, the rich young ruler, and the poor beggar. He taught everybody. He didn't care who they were. You know, the Pharisees didn't like him. They didn't believe a word he said, but he didn't care. He still preached. So why are you afraid? If Jesus wasn't afraid of the Pharisees, why are you afraid of them? What's in you that's not right yet, that you walk in fear? Come on. And I'm going to tell you right now, you have to be bold. You know, I don't like being bold, but God's really made me bold here in this dispensation, because we need to be bold, because we are facing the devil eyeball to eyeball. And he does not play fair at all. He throws everything that he has in hell at us. And so we're going to throw everything we have from heaven back at him. All right? And you have to be brave to do that. Because you know my story, how he was going to kill me, this and that. And the other. I've talked to the devil 3 different times. But don't ever say he can't do something. Because the Bible said in Job, you can do everything but kill him. And God told me the devil's coming after you. He's going to turn you inside out and upside down. But I told him he cannot kill you. But thank God that's over with. But if you haven't gone through your Job experience, you will. You have to go through this Job experience in order to be strong, in order to be bold. So when I was going through my Job experience, God said to me, daughter, don't die in your winter months. Because they are winter months when you're the devil has you and he's doing everything he can at you. He came to me that one day. He said, I'm going to kill you. And I laughed right in his face. He said, you cannot do that. You can't touch me. He said, you watch and see. Well, God had given him permission to have me. He didn't kill me, though. And he can't kill you. He can't. God's not going to allow that. Always remember that. I don't care what he threatens you with. He cannot kill you. He can make you wish you were dead every now and then. I mean, sometimes I said, God, I just wouldn't be dead to go through this. But, you know, he gives you more strength. He never calls you to do something that you can't handle. He gives you more strength, gives you more power, more authority, more boldness, and you can do it. You can do this thing. You can do this. All right. And of Jesus, it was said, the common people heard him gladly. So see, guys, the people out there in the street are going to hear you gladly. Don't try to speak to the church because they don't want to hear it. They'll think you're crazy. But get out there in the street and you preach to the unsaved. And you watch and see what Jesus will do. On the four walls are the four walls. We need to get out there and we need to start ministering to the people on the streets. All right. His message was clear. He demanded repentance. He promised forgiveness. He proclaimed freedom. He pronounced blessings. He set a new standard of righteousness. He declared the kingdom. He taught how to pray. He called for obedience. He warned of judgment, and he extended the invitation for all to come to him. There's your guideline, what you're supposed to do when you get out and start ministering. Exactly what Jesus did. Amen. Now, what a master teacher was he? Do you know his work? From his early childhood days, Luke records that he understood that his work was to be about his father's business. Do you understand your work is to be about your father's business, not just sit in a chair? Please go to church. But I'm saying when you're not in church, what your business is to be ministering to people around about you. And you don't need to preach them. Just let them see Jesus through you. Be that sweet presence of Jesus. And when people are walking in hate and anger, you be the one to bring peace and love. Don't join in with the crowd. You be peculiar. You be different than the crowd. All right, beginning at age 30, this is Jesus. His work for 3 years of public ministry was that of an itinerant preacher, teacher, and healer. I said to God, you know, after many years of hell, I said, but Jesus only preached 3 years. He said, that was my son. He said, you'll do this as long as I want you to. So don't complain about how many years of hell you have to go through. All right? Jesus was just our example. And he only ministered 3 years. John the Baptist only ministered 3 years. I think Paul only ministered 3 years. But that doesn't matter. We minister as long as God wants us to minister. And we don't do a complaining. And I'm guilty of complaining every now and then. More than every now and then recently. Amen. Because it's getting harder and harder, guys. I'm going to tell you right now. Because the devil's getting stronger and stronger. But God's anointing, God's glory is stronger than anything the devil can throw at us. Always remember that. All right, Jesus taught the true meaning and application of God's word. He preached righteousness, repentance, and regeneration. He healed the sick, opened the eyes of the blind, cleansed the leper, made the lame walk, calmed the distressed, made the dumb talk and the deaf hear, and raised the dead. He healed the sick, opened the eyes of the blind, cleansed the leper, made the lame walk, calmed the distressed, made the dumb talk and the deaf hear, and raised the dead. One time when I was standing by Brother Larry's bed, I heard, where is the God of Elijah? And I screamed that out at God, I get the two mixed up. Which one died? Elijah. Okay, where is the God of Elijah? So I said, God, where is the God of Elijah? I want you to come right now, and I want you to minister to Brother Larry as he lays here. And before that, the devil said to me, well, you raised the dead. Why can't you raise him? You know, the devil is sly. He'll just come at you over and over and over again and throw things at you. I'm not God. I don't pretend to be God. I am a child of faith, and I do believe. But also, I have learned over the years to talk to God first and see what God wants before I get radical. All right? We have to be like little children when we come to God. Believe his word. Believe his word. That's why I could do, God allowed me to do what I did when I first started, because I believed everything I read, I believed. But sometimes I did things and God honored it because of my faith, whenever I really should have asked God first. Is this really what you want me to do, Father? Are you understanding this? Because everybody I raised from the dead, they all didn't want to be raised and they wanted to die, you know. So, and I didn't even try to raise Brother Larry, because God's finally said, let him go. Because he saw Jesus. I'm mad at him. Because he saw Jesus, and I've been wanting to see Jesus for a long time. Are you understanding this? All right, where am I at? F. But Jesus' greatest work was that of redemption. He willingly went to the cross, endured the shame, suffered the agony, poured out his blood, and died for the sinful man. Now, you as a professed child of God with Jesus in you, you have to willingly every morning pick up your cross. Every day you have to endure the shame. Every day you have to suffer the agony. And every day you have to cry out for the blood of Jesus to cover you and to give you strength. And cry out for the authority that God gives you through the name of Jesus. That's the only way Jesus made it. So why do we think we can make it any other way? Are you listening here, guys? Come on. Jesus continues his work today as a resurrected, exalted Christ, ever living to make intercession for us. Jesus continues his work today as a resurrected, exalted Christ, ever living to make intercession for us. The conclusion here. The most beautiful, wonderful, loving person ever to live is Jesus. The most important thing you can ever do is to get to know him. You can know him intellectually through a study of the Gospels. That is good and important to do. But what is more important is to know him personally and intimately through faith. If you're going to go any further in your walk with God, you have to get to know Jesus. I'm hearing him say he wants to pour himself out upon you even today. He wants you to visually see him as he truly is. I've been reading, following Jay Bartlett and his deliverance ministry, and everybody anymore that gets delivered, they go to heaven and see Jesus. Do I have to go through a deliverance to see Jesus? But I think it's awesome how everybody that gets delivered all go to heaven and see Jesus, and Jesus talks to them and gives them instructions, and they come back. Isn't that awesome? Some of you went through deliverance. Maybe you run back there real quick and get another one, see if you can go and see Jesus. Come on. You know, but we can see Jesus in the beauty of the trees, in our children, in our spouses, We can see Jesus everywhere. Because he is everywhere. He is awesome. He's awesome to behold. You really don't need to see him. Just you can feel him. He walks beside you. You know, we do everything we do by faith. And if I have to see Jesus all the time, then that's not faith, is it? Come on. Brother Larry said to me one day, how do you know that Jesus is real? I said, I don't know. I just know. I just know. I just know. And that's all I could tell him. You know, if, you know, you just know he's real. You just know that he does what he says he's going to do. And so when people say, how do you know he's real? I just know. I just know. I've always followed him. I've always loved him. I've always, but he's always been with me. He's always kept me safe. He's, he, you know, I drowned three times. He brought me back three times. You know, I mean, he's done so many wonderful things. There has to be Jesus. The devil wouldn't do that. There has to be a Jesus. Come on. There has to be. Intellectual knowledge is to know facts about him. Intimate knowledge is to know him. You can read all the stuff you want to read about Jesus, but you're not going to know him until you know him personally, feel him, you know, feel his breath, and, you know, hear his voice, and, you know, all those intimate things that you get when you really, truly, truly, truly know Jesus. Come on. Pastor Larry said to me one night, he said, honey, Jesus spoke to me audibly. But, you know, Larry died years ago when he had his heart surgery. He went to hell. Jesus pulled him out of hell, took him to heaven. He had a conversation with Jesus and sent him back down to earth. So he sat with Jesus in heavenly places at that time. And that's when he really started to change his life. Because he sat in the presence of the Father. But see, why can't we change our life without going to heaven? Why can't we just spend intimate time with him, talk to him, have fellowship with him, and get to know him? Come on. Spend quality time talking to Jesus. Get off the phone. Quit arguing with your wife and go talk to Jesus. Amen. Get intimate with him. All right, I said intellectual knowledge is to know facts about Jesus. Well, intimate knowledge is to know him. One is faith of the head. The other is faith of the heart. I never knew him in my head, so I'm glad of that. I've just always known he is. Amen. I've always known that. All right, there's a song. Do you know my Jesus? Have you a heart that's weary, tending a load of care? Are you a soul that's seeking rest from the burden you bear? Do you know my Jesus? Do you know my friend? Have you heard he loves you and that he will abide till the end? Where is your heart, O pilgrim? What does your light reveal? Who hears your call for comfort when naught but sorrow you feel? Who knows your disappointments? Who hears each time you cry? Who understands your heartaches? Who dries the tears from your eyes? Do you know your Jesus? No, do you know my Jesus? Do you really know him today? I want you to leave here today knowing that you know that you know that you know that Jesus is real, that he abides deep inside of you, and that he never leaves you nor forsakes you, no matter what you're expecting and it doesn't happen. He didn't leave. You just had wrong expectations. You didn't ask him first what he wanted, and you just started wanting something, and you didn't get it the way you wanted it. And so then you get discouraged. Don't be discouraged when things don't go your way.